You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts here with you. Found out that Doug Martin's wrecked somewhere in between Cooper Kupp and Dwayne Washington. So there you go. Nice. Just to figure that out.
I gotta say, the king loves to get crucified. It's like, you know,
I don't care. If I believe in a guy, I believe in a guy. And that's it.
I respect it.
But I mean, before last night, where did you have Doug Martin? That's my
5 for 30 and a touchdown, moving up 47 spots.
I had him at 25, so I'm moving him up like maybe one spot.
Oh, you had him at 25 before last night. Oh, so last night really made you feel good then.
Yeah.
Like your previous ranking, I mean.
Yeah, I think Doug Martin's going to be, that back end number two running back two with some upside.
You know he's playing in 13 games.
Yeah.
At max.
The maximum 13 games.
Yeah, I realize he's going to be suspended. I'm aware of that, Corey. I've done my homework well before I met you.
Let me get into Buffalo, because Scotty, you started last hour talking about how you think Jacksonville could be a nice landing spot for Tyrod Taylor. So Tyrod Taylor, last night, he throws a couple of interceptions. And, like, is it really his fault? Like, this dude has no one to throw to, man. Like, what do you want this poor guy to do?
That's the point. And I wonder with Tyrod Taylor now, it's going to be an adjustment because he lost his best receiver. There's got to be an adjustment period there, I figure. Now, the first interception was on a safety blitz. And, you know, maybe blame that more on the line, but it was a good safety blitz. You know, the ball got knocked up in the air and the defensive lineman recovered it. But, you know, the second one was like, it was just like a really good play by Ronald Darby, who got his revenge last night. If you want.
Like, revenge game!
What did he say?
He's like, I couldn't believe they went after me. Like, they should know better.
Yeah, but...
Ronald Darby is a good player.
Yeah, but Tyrod Taylor's now in a challenging situation. As good as Zay Jones did, he looked better with Peterman. And I could see them trading him because they really like Peterman. He's very... Even though he's a fifth-round pick, they're in love with Peterman. And this team is rebuilding. They got rid of Watkins. They got rid of Darby. They're rebuilding. It would not, you know, they can opt out of Tyrod Taylor after this year. It would not shock me to see him get rid of him. My top three destinations would be Jacksonville, Denver, and San Francisco.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. Like, last season, you could say, well, Sammy Watkins was hurt. And nobody to throw to last season. But these are all new wide receivers.
Yep.
Jones is a rookie. Bolden just came in. The other Matthews got traded. He's hurt. So I totally agree with Scott. The Bills are looking to the future, acquiring all these draft picks and that kind of stuff. Peterman's a guy they want to see what they have in.
He looked good.
And for Tyrod Taylor, for him, I would like to see him move on, go to a different team, you know, get a shot.
Tell you what, Tyrod Taylor is just dropping in my rankings. Mm-hmm. Corey, you've asked me a lot over the last couple months. Am I cool with Tyrod Taylor's QB1? I am no longer cool with Tyrod Taylor's QB1.
I think I might have him as a QB1 somewhere.
When we come back, more Roto Experts here. We'll continue talking about the Bills game, the Bills and Eagles, how Alshon Jeffrey looked in his Eagles debut. Next on Roto Experts.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
As bad as Tyrod Taylor looked, he got to the point where Sean McDermott immediately following the game did not give any sort of vote of confidence to Tyrod Taylor. It came later. He was like, listen, Tyrod's our starter. But after the game, Sean McDermott was pissed enough that he did not confirm that Tyrod Taylor was the starter, which has dropped him in my rankings precipitously. He is now my number 19.
He actually did come back later and say,
he just said that.
He did, but I think that was the GM pretty much telling him, go back out there. Because he wants, if he wants to trade him, you're just totally, you know, 100% wrecking his value.
So, Tyrod Taylor, but as I said, he had no one to throw to. Zay Jones, who a lot of people are expecting big things from, had 3 for 42. What do you think of Zay's performance, Scott?
I liked how Zay Jones looked last night. It's like he's got that same thing that I talk about Cooper Kupp. Like, he knows where to be for his quarterback. He's got a high football IQ. He was running good routes, but he knew exactly where to be for Nathan Peterman. And then he had a beautiful over the shoulder catch in between two defenders. He timed his jump perfectly. Let me tell you something. If Tyrod Taylor, I'm speculating, having fun here, that Taylor's not the quarterback of the Bills. If Nathan Peterman's the quarterback of the Bills, he's going to have radar for Zay Jones. But anybody who has the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills should have some radar for Zay Jones. I like how Zay Jones has looked so far, and he's definitely somebody on my radar, you know, when you start getting to draft those bench wide receivers. But I liked him even before this.
They're not going to start Nathan Peterman, Scott.
If they trade Tyrod Taylor, they will start Nathan Peterman.
Really?
I think they love him.
I think Scott and Nando should play in like an AFC.
Peterman, love him.
So I have I do have a note, gentlemen, from my man, Chris Raymond.
Oh boy.
And this note,
he's gonna get a cutout board of Chris Raymond.
Just right here, just sitting here. The funny thing is, he has no idea that we're talking about him this much.
Okay.
Last few days. That's not very nice.
I mean, he doesn't care.
He must know. He said he got a note from him, right?
We got a note because we reached out for him to come on the show, and then we tried to confirm a day, and everything. He can get back to Corey. That was rude.
Maybe he's still well.
So, you know, we heard that the new regime wants more receptions out of Shady.
Clown. Not you.
Okay, Shady?
So the new staff wants more receptions for Shady. We're like, oh, this is great. He's our number 5 receiver. Raven says, Shady is not well suited to the rushing scheme. I'll give you the quotes. Rick Dennison is an outside zone scheme. We know this. And the one thing that changes will be the usage of the fullback, which basically means more, theoretically, for Tyrod Taylor and the Bills, more snaps under center than in shotgun. The problem with that, this is the quote, is that McCoy averaged only 3.9 yards per carry on 114 under center snaps with the Bills over the last 2 years. That's a full yard lower than the 4.93 he's averaged out of the shotgun over the last 2 years. Basically, you give McCoy more room, he has more room to be LeSean McCoy. The new scheme will require McCoy to follow blockers more, which could expedite his inevitable negative regression in yards per carry. Matt?
I mean, I've been saying this the whole time, the last couple months. It just has to come back from that 5.4. I like Shady, but I'm taking the wide receivers over him. I'm taking Julio Jones, Beckham, AJ Green, Evans. I'm taking those guys first. Then I'll take McCoy. I know everybody's pushing him up now, especially with Zeke getting the suspension. I just think you have a safer floor there. I'm hoping Shady's going to be good as a Bills fan. But, you know, this guy is 29. I know he's really good. But, like you said, there is a change in the offense. They do use the second back. Will that continue? We'll see. But Jonathan Williams continues to look good in the preseason.
Look, I'm with Matt that it's got to regress. But at the same time, Shady McCoy is a 29-year-old superstar running back in this league who has experience, and he will adjust, I think. He had a really nice run, juke two defenders last night.
He's awesome.
He's talented. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. But the thing that would worry me more, and I think the natural aggression is coming, is that with this quarterback situation, and if Tyrod Taylor is there, you know, he has to adjust his receivers, etc., you know, without Sammy Watkins, Shady McCoy becomes more of a defensive target in the crosshairs for defensive coordinators than he was a few weeks ago. So, look, I still like Shady, but there are reasons why the yards per carry will come down and why I'm with Matt. I'm redoing my ranks this weekend. I think I'm moving DeMarco Murray up to my third running back.
I will say this when it comes to the third running back. Yeah. I have been incredibly consistent from the beginning. That after the big two, I've had Devontae Freeman as my number three running back, mm-hmm. and he remains my number three running back, over Shady McCoy, over Melvin Gordon, over DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Shady.
No, I'm not worried about Shady.
I mean, Shady's four. I'm not like saying all of a sudden he's 10.
Yeah,
he's number four. I'm just
dropping three to four.
I'm not worried about Shady at all. The yards per carry are going to come down, but in the PPR, he's going to make up for it with the receptions. So the points are still going to be there. He's the man in the offense. You know how Shady play. Not a concern.
Let's go to the other side of the ball yesterday with the Philadelphia Eagles, right? So the Eagles, Carson Wentz looked a little shaky early, finishes 6-9. It was Alshon Jeffrey's Eagles debut. What did we think?
It was a nonplusser. It was really, two catches for 23 yards? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was looking for him. He wants to get comfortable with him. You know, Wentz is probably going to do more with him in practice. You know, the Eagles were really nondescript offensively last night. And this Nelson Aguilar buzz, and I'm not saying I'm behind it, is going to continue after he had a 22-yard catch and run last night.
I think the whole thing with Alshon Jeffrey is he just needs to stay on the field. He stays on the field, plays 16 games, he's going to put up numbers. It's as simple as that. He's their main target. I think guys like Zach Ertz got to bump up with
Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, with mm-hmm. the Matthews trade and stuff like that. Aguilar, you know what? I'm probably really got to let other people take
Same.
That gamble.
Same.
I'm just not going to go on that.
All right, let me do some player comps for Alshon Jeffrey. The player cost, but head-to-heads. Would you rather have Alshon Jeffrey or Allen Robinson?
You got to go Alshon Jeffrey right now. At this point, Allen Robinson ain't got no damn quarterback.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. You know, Corey just hit the nail on that.
Would you rather have Alshon Jeffrey or DeAndre Hopkins?
They're close. I'll take D-Hop, but it's very close. That could change. You know, it's not a etched in stone kind of thing. Like you would think it's D-Hop, no question. It's really close. I wouldn't be shocked if I changed.
Get my son pound for pound.
I have them right next to each other in my ranks. I slightly prefer Hopkins.
Fine.
Because I never had to worry about his durability, and I think Deshaun Watson will turn him around.
Be careful about his durability. He's not practicing now.
That's now. I'm not worried about it yet.
Alshon Jeffrey or Michael Crabtree?
Oh, that's Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay. I know Frank Stanfield last week in the Flex League. I mean, I know he was very back and forth with those two. So that's. I mean, do you have any comparisons you want to throw out?
Alshon Jeffrey or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton.
It should be T.Y. Hilton, but
for now, T.Y.
Hilton don't got no quarterback.
Yeah, no, he don't got no quarterback.
T.Y. Hilton, but I don't think he's not going to have a quarterback by week three.
I'm still going to go T.Y. Hilton, but I'm getting. I don't know. I'm going to have to. When I read my rankings,
for now,
where the hell am I putting
T.Y.
Hilton? Is the question?
We're not drafting in mid September. We're drafting now, Scott.
Yeah, but But you're living too much in
we're
the moment right
Sunday,
now.
We're drafting
Sunday,
now, Scott.
You have to look at the long game.
What pick will you make on the clock on Sunday, Scott? Don't tell me
I
have to look at the long game.
I already told you that. Look at the long game.
This,
you're living
Scott.
Too much in the mouth. I taught you, okay?
I'm going to say T.Y. Hilton, but if I'm on the clock, it'd be very interesting.
I'm going to say T.Y. Hilton also.
I would say T.Y. Hilton right now also, but it's
why?
Very,
he doesn't have a quarterback. He doesn't have a quarterback.
It's very close. You said it like it was easy, Scott.
I like Hilton that much.
I got to be honest. I don't think that was hard either for me.
Really? Like Hilton that much too?
I do.
He don't
I got
have
them
a
five spots apart.
I have them.
So why did
even
you pick
farther,
Hilton then?
To be honest with you. I get it. I get it. He doesn't have a quarterback. I completely understand. And I also know that T.Y. Hilton is a completely different player when Scott Tolzien is throwing him the ball.
Yeah,
we've
he seen doesn't have a quarterback on August 18th.
We've seen it in the past. It's much harder for me when you get to like the higher range, the Amari Coopers, the Doug Baldwins, the Brandon Cooks, and T.Y. Hilton. Alshon Jeffrey is below all of these guys for me. And I don't think it's close.
Me too.
For him versus T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I don't think it's close, but if DeAndre Hopkins had a good quarterback, that wouldn't
DeAndre
even
Hopkins
be a question.
Would be, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing.
But
the quarterback
Andrew Luck shouldn't be out for the year. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to have a good quarterback.
You wonder what scares me, Greg?
How do you know what's going to happen with Andrew Luck? You don't know that. You're not drafting on September 19th.
Or you know Carson Wentz tears his knee in week one.
No, right? I'm more confident in Luck getting back on the field. I just don't like that his center's gone now. You know, that offensive line was horrific to begin with. Now, and this is a guy coming back from injury who I think will be on the field early on. I don't think he's missing six games. I don't think he's going to put on that. But if you don't have a line, he's getting beat up in the
Hilton's past. Not top 10 for me, but I'd still take him over Jeffrey.
I agree, Scott. I'm going to go Hilton.
Yeah.
Hilton right now is number 9 for me. I don't know if I should move him below Amari Cooper, but I probably should. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the last preseason game on Thursday night when we come back on the Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Sports Radio Network. Eric Young is arrived. He's just staring at us. His lineup versus everybody. He's in the house. He's looking around. I think he's looking how to get. He's looking how to get in. He's in the house, man.
I think Corey's gonna be on his best behavior.
He looks what was that you said about Tavon Austin?
I didn't say nothing about Tavon.
He looks ready to rock this morning. He's in a mood.
It's the EY takeover, so he just stepped in the building. So
EY takeover beginning 8 a.m. Eastern Time on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's gonna be a fun day with Eric Young in the house. Let's get into Devontae Parker here with Miami, because I think that was one of the bigger stories to come out over last night. So Jay Cutler starts and looked a little skittish early on, I think, had to get back into a rhythm, but he was pretty much, Corey, what you had been saying, that he was going to pepper Devontae Parker with targets. Yeah. If Devontae Parker would stay on the field and he would remain healthy, he was going to be the man when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. And Jay Cutler, after the game, comes out and says, listen, this dude is a faster Alshon Jeffrey. And we knew when Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler were out there together, Alshon Jeffrey
was getting it done
up with targets.
He's just
have to love what you heard last
exactly.
night.
You saw the 2 drives, 4 targets for Devontae Parker. And that's basically what it boils down to. He's not going to fool around. You know, Jay Cutler is not here to turn around and give the ball to Jay Ajayi. He is here to put the gunslinger mentality, put it on the line, and he's winging it. And he says, oh, I got this kid Parker. Oh, he can play. He's the real deal. You know what? Let's go out here and get this money. And that's what they showed him last night. And that thing should keep going on. You know how I feel about Devontae Parker. I was on him for the first 2 years. I dropped off him this year because Ryan Tannehill sucks. Now we get a situation where Ryan Tannehill is out the way. And then you bring in a guy like Cutler who is perfect for Devontae Parker. He's moving up in my rankings.
I don't know how to move him. I don't know where to move him up.
Can you move him above Tyreek Hill?
I'm putting him right after Pierre Garçon. I was the original high guy on him. I didn't move him up when Cutler originally signed, but after
so that's where I have him right now, right behind Pierre Garçon. That's where I have him. I have Tyreek Hill significantly
would
higher.
Would you take Brandon Marshall or Devontae Parker?
I have Marshall ahead of him.
I'm going to go Parker.
That's the breaking point for me, and I think I'll have him like 37, like right ahead of Marshall. And credit to Corey for calling this shot because, what's that?
Hold on this.
What?
You're giving credit to Corey. Devontae Parker hasn't done a goddamn thing yet.
No, but as soon as
you can't give credit to Corey for doing anything yet.
You shouldn't say that in the morning, Greg.
Now, first off, you know, I already said who I like as rookies and stuff like that based on 1-2 games. We talk about Trubisky and stuff like that. You know, if I want to give credit to Corey for making a good call, I'm going to do it.
How is it a good call? Devontae Parker's been terrible for the last 2 years.
As soon as Jay Cutler was there, he said, I'm moving Parker up. And you know what? I agree with him. So I'm calling it a good call.
He hasn't done anything.
I believe he will. We have to project forward. He looked good last night. The big takeaway, too, is all right, there was a 16-yarder, but there was a beautiful 31-yard catch and run that got called back on a penalty. Jarvis Landry, I think, got one catch last night. It was a screen at the line, and he was tackled for a loss.
Don't get me wrong. They're going to get Landry involved.
Yeah, they'll get Landry involved. But, you know,
I worry about Jay Ajayi. Jay Cutler is going to tell Adam Gase, listen, I don't care about that running back there.
I like it for Jay Ajayi. I'll tell you why. Because this, like with Tannehill, the defense has to collapse back and respect the downfield passing game more. Plus, the team will move into scoring position consistently, giving him opportunities to finish off drives with scoring runs. So I still like Jay Ajayi. This gives them optimum offensive balance. I think the Dolphins are actually a better team because of this.
I got Landry on Tuesday night in the middle of the fifth round. He's really locked into the fourth round.
I wouldn't be surprised in the GST if he goes in the sixth round.
He's going to be a value. And look, this guy has as many receptions as Odell Beckham, you know, in his career.
Yeah. He's LSU teammate.
He does have the yards, but he's not going away.
No, he's not going
away. I think people are getting a little too crazy on that notion.
Drop him a little bit. You know, when you used to be on the board, you go, Golden Tate, Jarvis Landry. Now you definitely go Golden Tate.
Yeah.
You drop him a few notches, but, you know, this is when he needs a possession catch. Jay Cutler is smart enough to know that this is still a go-to guy. Jarvis Landry's very, very talented. I think you can't bump Jay Landry down too much because, when Tannehill was there, Landry's a more talented receiver, I think, from a pure scouting
perspective.
Let me finish what I'm saying, okay?
Then hurry up.
Jarvis Landry, okay, is a more talented receiver than what I thought Ryan Tannehill could get out of him. I think you might see a different set of production for him. He might even score two more touchdowns than he did last year.
All right, I want to do a couple of these, both Devontae Parker and with Jarvis Landry. I'm going to start with Devontae Parker. Well, hold on first. Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry?
Oh, I'm going to go Jarvis Landry still.
Jarvis Landry's more established.
Corey?
I think Jarvis Landry is... put it like this. I think Jarvis Landry is still going to get his... Right now, I would still rank Jarvis Landry higher. I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae Parker has the better season. They're getting closer in ranking, in my opinion. But Devontae Parker is a better football player than Jarvis Landry.
All right, here we go. I know you said Pierre Garçon is one spot ahead of Devontae Parker in your rankings. You said Brandon Marshall's where you cut it off. You had Devontae Parker higher than Tyreek Hill, correct?
Excuse me?
Devontae Parker versus Tyreek Hill?
I got Tyreek Hill, and let me tell you something. Tyreek Hill is going to... I like Tyreek Hill, and I'm getting higher on Tyreek Hill because I think Pat Mahomes sitting back there throwing the football down the field every time he gets a chance.
Yep.
I think Alex Smith is saying to himself, this happened to me with Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let somebody else come in here and take my job. Let me start to get more aggressive, too, or else I'm going to lose my gig. And if you want to get aggressive, Tyreek Hill is the perfect guy to do it with.
Yeah, that's a good point because there was a report coming out of KC yesterday that beat guys were saying the exact same thing, Corey.
Because you can't.
They said that they feel Mahomes is pushing Smith to be more aggressive downfield.
Smith looking in the mirror and grabbing his junk like, I got to do better.
Yeah. And you're going out in the yard trying to throw past 6 yards.
Why is he grabbing his junk, sir?
Because need to be more manly. He need to be more aggressive. You know what I'm saying? He need to show his nuts. You know what I mean? He needs to get that done.
You just told me he can't say goddamn on morning radio. You're talking about his nuts.
Okay.
He need to be like, yeah, I got it, son.
Here we go. Devontae Parker or Willie Snead?
Scott, why'd you let him say
I'm
that?
Still going Willie Snead.
You're still going Willie Snead.
I'm still going Willie Snead.
You got to come down a tier.
Devontae Parker, Stephon Diggs.
Here we go.
I'm still in a PPR. I'm still going to go Diggs. If Diggs is healthy, I really like him.
I got him right now. I got Devontae Parker, 33. Stephon Diggs, 32.
I will take Diggs in a PPR, Parker in a standard.
Devontae Parker, Jeremy Maclin.
Devontae Parker.
I'm going to say Jeremy Maclin. I really like him. I think Flacco's going to have a nice rapport with him.
I haven't seen Joe Flacco yet. See,
you will. It's only August 18th.
Devontae Parker, if he keeps saying it's August 18th, are you like totally good on Andrew Luck?
I'm not totally good, but I don't think he's going to be out for the season like you said.
I didn't say that.
When the Peyton Manning thing was going down a couple years ago, same thing with Scott. Oh, Peyton Manning will be there. He'll be fine. I'm like, Scott, we ain't seen Peyton Manning yet.
Hey, Dr. A told me by week three okay, that he should be back to his old self.
Okay, okay?
I didn't have a Dr. A back then.
This is what
then.
I want you to understand, Scott. We love Dr. A. We love the Inside Injuries app. Dr. A is not Andrew Luck's primary care physician, Scott.
He knows more about Andrew Luck than any of us here.
He's not his damn doctor, Scott.
Neither are you.
He does not.
You already put him out for the year.
I'm not putting him out for the year.
No one said
but
that.
Scott, remember.
Don't put words in our mouths. Let the bars be accurate.
You have to defend him? He's your father?
You came at me.
Let Corey talk for himself.
You came at me.
I'm talking to him.
Now you're talking to him. You changed the conversation. My man, Eli, who's sitting right over here, will be on at 8 a.m. He loves to tell you, and he's right. Right now, Andrew Luck is not a quarterback because he has not thrown a damn
thing. It's August 18th.
It takes a while to warm up that shoulder.
Like Dr. A said, he should be himself by week three. That's what I'm going by.
Dr. A has not looked at Andrew Luck.
Dr. A knows more medically than any of us combined at this table.
I get that, Scott. We get that. That's why we like to use his analysis. I get that 100%. He knows what he's doing. He does a great job.
The bottom line of the matter is he has not seen Andrew Luck's X-ray. He knows more than we do.
You know what I'm saying? Let me be clear, though. Let me be very, very clear, huh? I'm not telling you I'm not worried about Andrew Luck. Okay, what I'm saying is I'm not worried enough to drop him out of my top 10 yet or drop T.Y. Hilton out of my top 15.
Look, I respect Dr. A's opinion. I like it. I look at it. But when Dr. A starts writing the checks for me for my leagues, that's when I'll start checking the
He might do a few this year.
Dr. A?
Might want to listen to him. Yeah.
Yes, sir, hold on, Scott. If we're preaching Dr. A here, is Devontae Freeman dropping in your rankings?
I'm dropping him one spot in my ranks, yeah.
To behind who?
DeMarco Murray.
What? DeMarco Murray.
Yeah. So I knew he was doing that.
Because I had him very close. It was very, very tough for me.
Sure.
Where do you have Devontae Freeman at, Scott?
He's going to be five now.
Okay, I got him at five, too. Okay.
What I'm saying, I'm not going to over-worry about this stuff.
Okay, I was just asking.
But I'm going to take it into account. It's good information.
I was just asking.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I'm not arguing with you.
I know.
Jarvis Landry or Julian Edelman?
They're like right next to you. I'm going to go with Edelman.
I'm going to go with Landry. I'm going to think you're going to see different facets of his talent last year. He had a 100-yard game last year, like on four catches. I think you're going to see Jarvis Landry evolve more with Jay Cutler and become less of that PPR guy. So I'm going Landry.
I'm going to take Landry over Edelman.
Well, you hate Edelman.
I don't hate him. I just don't see where he's...
I think I know why.
You know. Scott, don't do that because you got people out there
on
Twitter.
Because he's a patriot.
Stuff, and that will believe that.
Because he's a patriot. You think they're cheaters.
Julian Edelman or Larry Fitzgerald? I'm sorry, Jarvis Landry or Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sorry.
I got Fitzgerald ahead of him. Like I said, these guys are all right clustered with each other. Look, Fitzgerald is the... He is the passing game right now in Arizona. He's got two consecutive seasons of 100 receptions. So he's still out there. He's still a force. It's Fitzgerald.
Jarvis Landry.
Slightly.
One word. Just give me the one word. Jarvis Landry or Sammy Watkins?
Jarvis Landry.
Landry.
I'm going to have to go Landry.
We'll come back. We'll talk more about last preseason game with the Dolphins and the Ravens. That comes your way next here on the Roto Experts.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Back here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And talk a lot about Jarvis Landry there, a lot about Devontae Parker, but I want to get back to something that you were saying, Corey.
Yeah.
And that ultimately, you really think this is a very negative effect on Jay Ajayi, because Jay Cutler's not coming to just hand the ball off.
Why would he do that? When he had that that talk with Adam Gase, he probably like, listen, I'm hearing that y'all gonna run the offense through Jay Ajayi. If you're gonna do that, I'm going to stay up in the booth. I'm not fooling with this thing right here. Jay Cutler is coming out here. This is like a one-shot deal right here. You never know. They might sign him again next year, or he might end up someplace else and continue his career. Why not go out there and put your talent as a gunslinger on display? They got the pieces in Landry and Parker. Man, I'm not fooling with Jay Ajayi. I can't get down with Jay Ajayi. I'm just like, I think that Cutler's like, okay, we can have some balance in the offense when we need to be. But for the most part, this running the offense through Jay Ajayi, forget about that. The offense runs through Jay Cutler's right arm.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's always been a good thing in the past. Sure. I think you want to have good offensive balance. That's what they tried to establish. If you put too much on the shoulders of Cutler, he's going to make mistakes because he is a gunslinger. Like I was saying before with Ajayi, I think there's a good – it changes his profile. I think Cutler at the offense changes the whole profile of a lot of these receivers, just like it did with Parker. You have more offensive balance. I think you see more consistency. Teams can't load up against him. More scoring drives, more opportunities for short scoring runs. I still like Jay Ajayi.
I'm going to be on Scott's side here. I do think it'll open things up. And they don't – I mean, Cutler, you have to rein him in at times as well. And if they get inside the the 5-yard line, like look at Melvin Gordon. If it's a better offense, better, more opportunities. So I like Ajayi. I'm not as confident when I take him.
I'm kind of on both sides of the argument, which I know is a cop out, but I agree with you, Scott. The offense is not, when you rely on Jay Cutler, it's not a good thing overall. But the other side of that is the reasons we were all high on Jay Ajayi coming into this year was because this offense ran through Jay Ajayi, right? Like, he was going to get over 200 carries. We saw what they did last year when they basically handed him the keys and didn't rely on Ryan Tannehill. They went to the playoffs. And it was all on Jay Ajayi's back, mostly against the Bills.
But do you think he's going to be a pass catcher?
I think there's going to be more of a balance. Now, Scott, you and Matt believe like that's a good thing. Like, getting balance is a good thing. But I think when you were relying on this guy and you were, Chris List spending a first-round pick on this dude, you need the offense to revolve around him. The offense in Buffalo revolves around LeSean McCoy, right? I get that.
Yeah, no doubt.
The offense in Tennessee revolves around DeMarco Murray. I get that. In Atlanta, they score so many damn points anyway.
It doesn't make a difference,
right? So I get that. I get that too. In that's where, to me, you have those three guys. Those three guys are clearly ahead.
Well, I think he could be like a Melvin Gordon-ish.
Okay,
where he's going to be the lead back, no questions asked. And then when they get inside that five, like Melvin Gordon had so many touchdowns from the 3-yard line and in.
Yeah.
So if Ajayi is going to be that back, like they say, and then if you believe he is going to catch passes, look, I own one share of Ajayi, so I do have my concerns about him. I'm not going. I'm not dying on the hill on Jay Ajayi. I'll say that.
Who'd you die on the hill with yesterday? Who was your guy?
I don't even know. I wound up dying on the hill.
Now you said you had all those guys ranked ahead of him. I had him ranked ahead of him before. You know, before even Cutler came, and like he's my number 8. You know, my end of the RB1 tier. From a pure football perspective, you don't want to totally have Jay Cutler carry your offense.
I get it.
And this will, like I said, it will only open things up. He's going to want to lean Ajayi to take some more pressure off him, especially in key situations. I think from a pure football perspective, this is good for Ajayi. What Corey doesn't like Ajayi because he was inconsistent last year. Like we said, 2 of 3 big games against the Bills. I think this gives him the opportunity to be more consistent on a week-to-week basis.
On July 18th.
1 month ago.
Jay Ajayi was bone-on-bone knee issue.
Sure.
He's on Scott's team. He's an RB1.
Look, I still worry about his health, okay? I still worry about his health.
You're being optimistic on a player that you've rostered. You're being optimistic on a player that you've rostered.
You look at everything in black and white, and you never realize shades of gray, okay?
You want to go with the bone-on-bone.
What I'm saying is, Look, I do worry about his health. It's in the back of my mind, okay?
Uh-huh.
But there are concerns for every running back right around that range that I can point to. Of those, I like Ajayi the best. Yeah, I worry about the concussions. I worry about the knees a little bit. But you know what? He's the last one of my RB1s. Because of those reasons, he is not ranked higher for me.
Listen, I have him as eight overall. I have him last of this crew as well.
Yeah.
So we're ranked in the same spot.
There's no way I'm going to consider him near DeMarco Murray, who was like my seven.
I would hope not.
Corey,
you don't have to tell me that. Corey, I know what I'm doing.
You were the low guy. You're the low guy as we talk about Jay Ajayi at the table. Where do you have him ranked, though?
I got Jay Ajayi RB12 right now. And I'm telling you, I could easily see Joe Mixon moving above him this weekend.
All right, so who do you have between 8 and 12, then?
Who do I have between 8 and 12?
Isaiah Crowell. I think your top 7
is pretty standard. Ty Gurley. Okay. Jordan Howard, Leonard Fournette.
Oh, so who's your number 7 then, if Jordan Howard's that low?
My number 7 is Dalvin Cook.
Wow, so you've gone that high on Dalvin Cook.
I've gone that high on Dalvin Cook.
That's really the story to me, you know, anything else.
And I think we'll see more of that story develop tonight. And I think Dalvin Cook is going to be a second-round draft pick from this weekend forward because I think Dalvin Cook's going to be a second-round draft pick from this weekend forward because of the situation that as we see him more in the preseason and he gets more carries and rushes, the ADP is just going to start popping because I really feel as if he is going to be the featured piece of this offense. It's going to be Dalvin Cook. You know, they got a dynamic playmaker right there, and they're going to use him. And you, let me tell you something. You get a guy like this in his first year, you could have something.
Let me tell you something, Corey. That's an excellent point because Minnesota goes to Seattle tonight. And, you know, if he can play well in that game, that he's going to rock it up.
That I want to bring up in a couple of moments, by the way. Before we do, I want to talk to you at 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Chuck in Mass. What's up, Chuck?
Chuck, what's popping with you? When you coming up?
What's going
Trucks,
on, fellas?
My man.
Can't
What's
wait
up?
For Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time at the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Are you and Scott at the same draft?
Yeah,
table?
Me and Scott
are you in
the same
league.
And Greg, thank you.
Yeah, me, Scott, and Greg all in the same league. Me and Scott drafting. I'm drafting 4. Scott's drafting 3. I'm going to wear his ass out on every turn.
He's obsessed with me. He's already looked at where he's playing me on the schedule.
Because I'm in the 4th slot on the other table. I was going to switch with you just for the entertainment fact. I wanted you guys to yell at each other all day.
It's not going to happen, though. Corey's thinking about me. I'm not thinking about him, Truck.
Hey, quick question. Everyone's talking about the wide receivers on Miami, but no one's really mentioned what are we going to do when Matt Moore's the quarterback by week 5 because Cutler's knuckle hurts or something.
Well, you know, if that's the case, I still like Devontae Parker because it's not Ryan Tannehill. It's still going to be a situation where you got a quarterback. Listen, I'm a Matt Moore guy. You still got a situation where you're going to still going to be Devontae Parker getting it. I've said it since May. If Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback, I don't want no parts of Devontae Parker. If we get somebody else in there, Parker moves up my board. Listen, this is why they brought me here, Truck.
Right here, man. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it. So the point I wanted to bring up, by the way, Scotty, you talked a lot. This isn't related to the Dolphins, but you talked a lot about how Seattle, the Seahawks, are going back to what they made the name for, right? A couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Rushing attack. Russell Wilson more of a read option, right?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that initially you liked Eddie Lacy was because they wanted to go back to running the ball. Not anymore. I get you changed on Lacy.
Power running.
Back to that. The Seahawks are the worst offensive line in football. The worst, number 32. Right. That is a major concern for me when it comes to both Rawls and Lacy and Russell Wilson going back to this read option. When you have the worst offensive line in football, I know you've talked to me about Tom Cable a lot, that's a major issue.
Yes, and that's looking back at last year. They made some moves during the offseason.
No, it's not. That's Pro Football Focus projecting for this year.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well,
and everybody.
Well, Luke Jokel, you know, they
sucks.
Got him. They drafted Pokic. They're gonna flip Bafadi to the right side.
They drafted him. They're gonna flip him to the right side. They're gonna give him a special boot on his foot so he can make sure he blocked for Russell Wilson. Then they're gonna do it.
Okay, you know what, Corey? You talk. He asked me the question, but you got to interrupt me just to
he's
jealous because the Cowboys haven't won $20 million.
Hey man, he mad because his Seahawks got the worst O line in NFL history.
Yep, and they're still going to win 10 games again. Vegas has them projected for the most wins. And none of them are suspended either. I just wanted to let you know that, Corey. Yes. But there's more worries with the offense. Just forget about the line. Thomas Rawls is not going to. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what? Let this be a Corey Parsons show. We'll go home. How's that? All right. Maybe the network. All right. Anyway, Thomas Rawls is not going to play tonight because of an ankle injury. So Lacy's going to start.
Yeah.
We're already looking at these injuries already. We know Procise can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Lacy, yeah, there's been injury issues too.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting because both Dalvin Cook and Eddie Lacy are playing against terrific defensive lines, two of the best in football tonight. And I want to see how each one of these running backs performs. With Lacy, you know, let's say he starts the whole way and the offense line is like it is, you want him for touchdowns because that offense is still going to move.
I get it. I'm just very concerned with the offensive line. I know you talked to me, because you talked about this, how it's improved, and you named all the moves. But when all these publications, Inside the Road Westerners Exclusive Edge Package, written by Mike Blewett, he has him in the bottom three. Pro Football Focus has him literally last in the NFL. I saw another publication, I forget what it was, unfortunately, now. They had him last in the NFL. That is a major issue.
It's fair, but even if the offensive line was better, I think you still worry about the running backs.
Okay. That's totally fair. And listen,
this team is going to move through the air. What they've always done with the line is Russell Wilson is so evasive that they'll say, "Let's go with it. Let him scramble around and throw."
Drift.
Then you run. But you worry about the running game not only for that reason, but for the guys that are actually there.
When we come back, we wrap up this hour. We'll talk about the Ravens a little bit, and then Eric Young from WWE NXT joins the program and takes over live. That comes your way next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turn fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Final 5, hour number 2, here, Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, coming up next, 8 a.m. Eastern, Eric Young joins the program, my BFF, live here in studio, all day, taking over. This is the Eric Young Takeover, of course, one day away from NXT Takeover, live at Barclays Center. I still think it's available, by the way, so if you want to head out, see awesome wrestling, go check it out tomorrow night at Barclays. For the Ravens last night, Danny Woodhead, your boy, Matty Moe, didn't do much. Are you nervous? Not that you're nervous. I get that. It's a preseason game. No Joe Flacco, who still isn't practicing, as Corey's pointed out, certainly limits what Danny Woodhead has the capability of doing, obviously. But somebody, I don't remember who it was, but even honestly, we've been in the BFFs. They basically said, listen, if Flacco doesn't come back, Mallett's going to just dump the ball off anyway. Mallett's too dumb and terrible to do that.
You know, I am concerned that the Ravens are going to get ravaged by injuries on the offensive side. I think they lost a lineman, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ravaged.
Tight ends. Joe Flacco's not there. So, yeah, there is concern in that aspect. But am I not going to draft Danny Woodhead? No, I'm going to draft Danny Woodhead right now. But hopefully Flacco can get on the field at some point before the season. I know he's not going to start any preseason games. He doesn't need to do that. But if he can practice, that'd be ideal.
The news is mainly optimistic. So we do think he has a chance to be out there. You know, they're saying that, you know, he's fine. They're not just like, oh, he'll, you know, it's not like Andrew Luck where we really don't know what's going on. We have more of a clear picture of what's going on with Joe Flacco. So I do think Flacco will be back. But I just look at this Baltimore Raven team. I'm starting to like Terrence West a lot more for this season. The Danny Woodhead thing, listen, we know what kind of PPR running back he can be until he gets hurt.
Yeah, Terrence West didn't do anything last night, but I don't think you really worry about it. You're really not going to see what this offense is without Flacco there. Like you alluded to, you know, Mallett just looks really, really bad. His decision-making is very, very poor.
Yeah, I mean, he's terrible. That's another team.
Who's worse, Ryan Mallett or Blake Bortles? Yeah, who's worse?
I think Mallett is. Mallett.
Yeah, you guys have to think Mallett. Anytime Bill Belichick gives up on you, you know.
I think at least Bortles could be competent in a 2-minute drill.
On the other side of things, Terrence West rushed 6 times, went nowhere, and basically, this is kind of the story. He's at the Baltimore Ravens offense without Joe Flacco with a beat up offensive line. It's a disaster.
Yeah, I'm not the big into Terrence. I understand. Look, if I had to draft him, I'll draft him at a certain point, but I'm not buying the whole Terrence West thing.
I think, you know, at some point you get to it like around 30th running back off the board and you say, okay, you know, this guy's a starting running back and he's obviously going to get the touchdown carries for this team, you know. But it wouldn't shock me at some point if Baltimore goes out and makes some sort of move to get another running back in there that can run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you think so. I assume Terrence West.
Ryan Matthews is out there.
Ryan Matthews.
He doesn't want to retire.
It's true. Yeah, I mean,
how about he not suck?
I know. I think the Ravens.
I agree with you, but he's out there.
I like Jerry Macklin. It's so hard to take anything from this game without Joe Flacco playing at all.
Yeah. You can't.
And he's not going to play at all this preseason.
No, there's no reason for him.
So, Jerry Macklin's going to be a discount, and maybe he should be. But Jerry Macklin's not going to cost you a damn thing in a draft.
I like him a lot. You know, I think with a veteran receiver and a veteran quarterback, they'll get on the page really quickly during the regular season.
Scott, they're going to have to because they're going to have zero practices together.
I know, like, but I think when you got two guys like that, one of a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a veteran receiver like that, they'll get on the page quickly. And I think Macklin's going to be very useful.
Yeah, I think Macklin's going to be useful too. But I think it takes them maybe a month to get it going. So you could see a lot of people. Benching him, maybe even cutting Jeremy Macklin in the early part of the season as they try to figure out the chemistry between Flacco and Macklin. I can see going into October him being a nice buy low candidate, Jerry Macklin.
I can see him scoring in the opener.
He's not sexy at all, Jerry Macklin, but I think it's going to pay dividends at some point. When we come back, it is the Eric Young Takeover of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's all day long. It begins next.